Welcome to the Wisdom Journey. Stephen Davey is taking you through the entire Bible with a new lesson each weekday. This is episode 37, a lesson called From Somebody to Nobody. We're in Exodus 2 and 3 today, looking at an important lesson from the life of Moses.
Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. 40 years learning he was nobody, and then 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. That often repeated quote from D.L. Moody pretty much sums up Moses' life. Now, over these next two study sessions, we're going to observe several different attitudes that are going to hinder Moses from serving the Lord. And along the way, like me, you just might recognize yourself in some of these attitudes. The first attitude hindering Moses' availability to serve God's purpose is an attitude that effectively communicates, I am invincible. We're told here in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10 now that Moses grew up as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, by the way, over in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, we're informed that Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. You got to know that Egypt was no primitive backwater village back then. It was the Oxford University of the ancient world. In fact, archaeologists have discovered that instruction in the wisdom of the Egyptians meant training in everything from mathematics and chemistry to engineering and science and even the art of war. As the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses would have been educated at the highest levels. So Moses has every reason to believe that he can, in fact, deliver these people, the children of Israel. We also know that Moses never lost the sense of who he really was. Here in verse 11, we read, "One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people." You see, Moses knew he truly belonged to the nation of Israel. They were his people. Now, at the age of 40, Moses evidently thinks it's time to fight for a little freedom. He's a university graduate. He's prepared now. In fact, we're told here in verse 12, he looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him, buried him in the sand. The problem is, Moses has run ahead of God. It isn't time for God to free Israel, and frankly, Moses isn't ready to lead them. He's 40 years ahead of the will of God. Pharaoh now is going to discover what Moses has done and immediately seeks to kill him. Verse 15 tells us that Moses has to run for his life, and he's not going to stop running until he reaches the land of Midian several hundred miles away. You see, Moses, he was pretty convinced that he's invincible. God isn't going to use him until he's humble and ready to be a servant leader. Well, we learn here that Moses settles down in the land of Midian. He marries a shepherd girl by the name of Zipporah. But what a drastic change for Moses. He's come from the palaces of Egypt to the plains of Midian. Here he's going to live a simple life of a shepherd for the next 40 years, discovering he's nobody. In chapter 3 now, Moses is shepherding his flock. He's at the foot of Mount Horeb, another name, by the way, for Mount Sinai. He suddenly sees a bush on fire, but that little bush isn't being consumed. Verse 4 tells us, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Well, God tells him to take off his sandals because this is holy ground. In other words, this is God's ground. This is God's earth. God is somebody. He owns the planet. And then God tells Moses here in verse 7, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Flowing with milk refers, by the way, to rich pasture land where the herds will produce milk, as it were, like a gushing fountain. The land will flow with milk as well as honey. Now, this isn't bees' honey. This is a reference to the sweet nectar of dates that come from the date palm tree. That tree, even today, stands as a symbol of Israel's fertile lands. It's going to flow with that date honey. Well, then God gives a surprising commission to Moses here in verse 10. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I can imagine Moses kind of catching his breath and saying, Lord, I thought you said you were going to deliver your people. How did that turn into me delivering them? Moses says here in verse 11, who am I that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? You remember earlier, Moses thought he was invincible. He's going to handle it. Well, now he thinks he's insignificant. In fact, too insignificant for God to use. God doesn't respond here by telling him, you know, you got to build up your self-image. You know, Moses, you just got to believe in yourself. No, none of that nonsense. What God does say here in verse 12 is this, I will be with you. You see, the truth is, nobody is insignificant. God can use any of us, but only as we remember what Jesus told his disciples in John 15, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Not a few things, nothing. See, the promise God gave to Moses is the same promise he's given to us over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise you and I are going to need today as we lean on and learn from the Lord. Now, there's a third attitude that gets Moses into trouble, and it stands in the way of him serving the Lord. And it basically says, Lord, I'm ignorant. Here in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, Moses says to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? In other words, he says, look, I tried to help my people 40 years ago, and they didn't appreciate it, and I got in trouble, and all that got me was exiled, and now I'm supposed to show up and tell them God sent me? they're gonna believe that. And what if they ask me the simplest question like, okay, you met with God, what's God's name? Moses is saying here, I don't have enough information. I'm not smart enough for this job. And the Lord responds by teaching him in verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. I love that verb, I am. It comes from the Hebrew verb haya, which gives us God's name Yahweh, or as it's often written in English, Jehovah. God says to Moses, you go back there and tell them my name is the ever-present one, Jehovah. I don't just exist in the past or in the future. I am the God of the present. Beloved, let me tell you, Satan loves to trap us somewhere in the past or keep us worried about the future so that he can distract us from the peace of trusting God in the present. God is the great I am. And he says, I'm with you right now. God essentially tells Moses, look, you don't have to know all the answers. I just want you to know me. I want you to follow me. Forget about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Follow me today. I wonder, what's your hope as a mom or dad in parenting? What are you trusting in to help you in that career or ministry? Are you demanding answers from God? Or are you trusting in the presence of God today? Remember, Moses spent 40 years convinced he was a somebody, and then 40 years out there in Midian thinking he was nobody. But now as the next 40 years of his life begin to sort of unfold, God will begin making somebody out of nobody. He can do the same for you. He can do the same for me as we walk with him today. Now, Moses has more objections for God, and we'll cover those in our next study together. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Just like God prepared Moses for his ministry, God prepares you for all that he has in store for your life. You're listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. To go deeper in your personal wisdom journey and help support our ministry, please consider joining the crew. You'll receive the study guide for each lesson and more. Click the show notes to learn more. See you next time.